Well, I ran across an article recently that listed 10 top religious figures and founders in human history. And as you would suspect, when listing these top 10 figures, the writer put the dates of their the dates after their name of when they lived. So, for example, Confucius lived from 551 to 479 BC. He even listed Martin Luther as 1483 to 1546 AD. All 10 religious figures on that list had a date of birth and a date of death. Joseph Smith, Muhammad, you know, leaders who have huge followings today. But number one on the list was Jesus of Nazareth. And like the others, the writer listed the year of his birth and the year of his death. And this is what he said about Jesus of Nazareth as one of the top 10 religious figures and founders in history. He said, his public ministry lasted little more than 2 years. He never had more than a few thousand followers during his lifetime. He left no personal writings and was even executed for sedition by the Roman authorities, all of which should have made him little more than a footnote in history. Instead, today he is venerated not only as a great prophet and moral teacher, but is believed by many to have been the literal physical manifestation of God on earth, a status he demonstrated by allegedly resurrecting from the dead 3 days after his death. So he says that Jesus should have been nothing more than a footnote in human history, but instead many believe that he was the manifestation of God because he allegedly rose from the dead. And he was right. Jesus had few followers during his lifetime, a very short ministry. He left no personal writings, and he was executed by Roman authorities. But as we know and believe, he did rise from the dead, which made him much more than all those other religious figures put together, and making him more than just a footnote in human history. The resurrection did demonstrate that he was God in human flesh. The man who wrote that article didn't believe that, but you and I are part of those many Christians that he mentioned who do believe this. But why? Why do we believe the resurrection when many don't believe it? Well, the answer to that question is the lesson of the resurrection that Jesus taught in the second recorded conversation after he rose from the dead, which was the conversation he had with two people on the road to Emmaus. Remember, in every one of these conversations we're looking at, Jesus does two things. He convinces his followers that he actually rose from the dead, and he teaches each of them an important lesson about that truth. So for Mary Magdalene, as we looked at last time, most of his conversation with her was spent convincing her that he truly was alive. Remember, she heard most, if not all, of the seven sayings on the cross. She watched him die. She watched them bury his body. And when Jesus found her, she was only looking for his dead body. But by speaking her name, Jesus convinced even Mary that he was alive, and he commissioned her to tell the disciples, who he called brethren, and to tell them that he was ascending to their Father and to their God. So the lesson of the resurrection to Mary was that he had brought them all into a new family relationship, and he was ascending to intercede for them as an older brother, the only one qualified to do that. So the first recorded conversation was with Mary Magdalene, a woman who was one of his most devoted followers. His second conversation was with two more distraught followers on the road to Emmaus. His third conversation was with Thomas, and then with Peter. We're going to be looking at those the next couple of times. After he rose from the dead, he didn't appear in the temple or to the crowds. He appeared to seemingly unknown people who loved him and who were devoted followers. 1 Corinthians 15 lists a few people that he appeared to, and it also says that he appeared to over 500 believers at once. And that's it. He didn't make a grand appearance after he rose from the dead. You know, so Jesus should have been nothing more than a footnote in human history, as that writer said, because he let himself be obscure and personal. But he left the spread of the truth about his death and his resurrection to a handful of followers. And in order for them to do that, they had to be convinced of the resurrection. gospel message is more than the death of Christ. What he accomplished on the cross was sealed by the resurrection. And his resurrection did demonstrate that he was God in human flesh. Resurrection means we're not only united to him in his death, but in his risen life. It would have all been in vain if we were only united to him in his death. So that great exchange that happened on the cross, our sins laid on him and his righteousness made ours, it would have all been pointless if he was simply one of the top 10 religious figures in human history that had a date of birth and a date of death, and that was it. You know, he rose from the dead, meaning that we're united to him in his life and not just his death. And he appeared only to his followers because they had to believe it. The crowds, the religious leaders, Pilate, he didn't appear to them. He had conversations with his followers who were confused about his death and who needed to believe that he was alive. It was a truth that his followers had to believe. And this was the point of his conversation with them, to convince them that he was truly alive. And they did spread that truth. And since then, many Christians have believed it. Well, tonight we come to a conversation which is the longest recorded post-resurrection conversation we have in the Gospels, although I wish we had more of it recorded, but it's found in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. So this is the conversation he had with two people on the road to Emmaus, and this happened the same day that he appeared to Mary. But let's read what Luke says about that morning. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. So Jesus had told them this would happen, but they just now remember. It says in verse 9, "Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." So at this point on Resurrection Sunday, there are some who believe and are remembering Jesus' words and rejoicing over the resurrection, but there's a lot of confusion and unbelief going on, and that's especially true at the beginning of this next conversation. Verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?'" So these two people had heard of the resurrection, but what Jesus points out to them is their sadness. They were sad on a day that they should have been rejoicing. But it was because they were confused and full of unbelief. You look at verse 18, it says, "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So they were confused and unbelieving because of the things that had gone on. You know, we don't know anything about these two people. One of them is named Cleopas. This isn't Clopas, who's mentioned another time in the New Testament. This is Cleopas, and he's never mentioned anymore in the Bible, at least by name. And we're not given the name of the other person who was with him. And some say this was Cleopas' wife, which is very possible. Others say it could be Luke, the writer of this gospel, since the other gospel writers often put themselves into the story kind of inconspicuously. But we're not sure who this other person is. They're just two followers of Christ, just like all the other followers. In fact, when they talk about Mary Magdalene and the other women, they just call them certain women of our company. It wasn't anybody in particular. And even when they mention Peter and John, who became pillars of Christianity, they just call them certain of those who were with us. Verse 24, certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. So these were just two followers who were just like everybody else, just as confused as everybody else about all that had happened that week, Monday with the triumphal entry, and then Tuesday the cleansing of the temple, and then Jesus's arrest and the crucifixion, his death and burial. This isn't what his followers were expecting. And so these two followers have left Jerusalem, and they're making the two-hour walk to their home in Emmaus because, as far as they were concerned, it was all over. But Jesus chose to appear to these two followers and to talk with them and convince them that he was alive. So these two basically unknown people are walking from Jerusalem, talking about all that happened, and Jesus walks up and joins them. This was a walking culture, and it wasn't uncommon for people to do that. They would just join others who were walking and join in their conversation. But they didn't recognize him, probably partly because for the same reason that Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him. They weren't expecting an alive Jesus to appear to them. But we're also told that they were prevented from recognizing him. Verse 16 says their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. So he's in his glorified body, but it's very human. Remember, Mary thought he was a gardener. And he ate food with his disciples after he rose again. These people aren't surprised by what he looked like. Later, he vanishes from their sight, and later he just appears in the upper room. So there's something different about his body, but he's still very human. The only thing that surprises these two people about Jesus is that he asked what had happened in those last days. They thought he must have been a stranger to not have heard anything that had happened, but he actually wanted them to tell him in their own words what had happened. And it's interesting what they say in verse 19. It says, he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So they tell him, first of all, who they were talking about. Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. It sort of sounds like that article I read. Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet and a moral teacher. And as that article said, who was executed? They said in verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. So before they believed in the resurrection, these two people were at the same point in their unbelief as that man who wrote the article. But the difference was that these two people thought he would be more than just a good man who lived and who died and who started a new religion. You know, they were confused because their own religious leaders had crucified him. And they were hoping, as verse 21 says, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. So they believed in the Messiah, like every good Jew, but like many of them, even today, they believed only in the Messiah of a second coming, who would bring a kingdom, a redemption. They didn't believe in a first coming where he would suffer and die and rise again and redeem their souls. So that's what Jesus addresses in his conversation with them, verse 25. It says, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he rebukes them for their unbelief and for not knowing what the scriptures said. You know, they were ignorant of what they said they knew because they didn't want to believe it. It's kind of like the disciples and the women at the tomb. The angels had to remind them that Jesus said he would be crucified and rise again. You know, they didn't want that, so they forgot that he told them many times that that would happen. So all of the confusion and unbelief happening after the resurrection was because of ignorance, not of what they hadn't been told, but ignorance because they didn't listen to what they didn't want to be the truth. You know, they didn't want a suffering Savior, and so they didn't listen to that part from Moses and the prophets. They didn't want this miracle worker who spoke words of life and who had to be the Messiah to be someone who would allow himself to be executed for something he didn't do. And they didn't want what the scriptures said, so they didn't listen, and they only wanted the part they liked, that the Messiah would be victorious and redeem Israel. What they really needed was someone who would redeem their souls. And that could only happen if he was a suffering Savior first. And he had to pay a price. He had to be the final sacrifice, as Moses showed them. And he had to rise again to be their living Redeemer. So he had to be a suffering Messiah to redeem their souls. And he had to be a risen Messiah to redeem Israel. So the resurrection was the hinge between the two, the hinge between his two comings. So he says, ought not Christ, the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And he said, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You know, they missed an important truth about the Messiah, that he would suffer these things and enter his glory, because that's not the kind of Messiah they wanted. You know, the scriptures are full of things that we like and don't like to hear. You know, I like verses best to make me feel good, like nothing can separate me from the love of God. But there are harder ones to hear and harder to apply, like be anxious for nothing, or the verses that tell me that the people I love who don't believe are headed for judgment. You know, it's the hard things that the scriptures say that we tend to forget or ignore. Sort of like the Jews who didn't see that Moses and the prophets talked about a suffering Messiah, because that's not what they wanted to hear. So what did Jesus do? Verse 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So before he opened their eyes to who he was and convinced them that he was alive, he opened their eyes to the scriptures and explained the parts that they had missed. And this is the part of the conversation I wish we had more recorded. It would have been amazing to hear Christ explain the scriptures about himself. At least that's how we feel about Cleopas and his companion and how privileged they were. But notice that Jesus said something different. He said that they were foolish and slow of heart to believe. And that's why he had to explain the scriptures to them. You know, the scriptures were all they needed. They had it, but they hadn't paid attention. And the scriptures are all we need. The word of God is that powerful. He explained the scriptures about himself to only two people. Because the scriptures are enough for anyone who has given eyes to see and believe. The word of God mixed with his spirit opens eyes. And that's what happened next. Verse 28 says, then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Notice that it was after he showed them the scriptures that he showed them who he was, and then he vanished from their sight. So he didn't talk to them anymore after they knew who he was, because seeing his bodily form wasn't really what they needed to believe. They just needed the scriptures. And that's the lesson of the resurrection from this story. We don't need Jesus to appear in bodily form to us to believe in the resurrection. We've been given the same things these two individuals had, the word of God and eyes to see. and that's all that they needed. And really, this is the answer to why we believe in the resurrection, when the man who wrote that article about Jesus of Nazareth didn't believe it, and many others don't believe it. These two people on the road to Emmaus weren't any more privileged than we are, because they had a conversation with Christ and he explained the scriptures to them. You know, they didn't even know it was him until after the fact, and they thought back on it. You know, we have the same thing that they needed in order to believe: the word of God and our eyes opened. In John's first epistle, he talks about how they had seen him and touched him and heard him speak. But he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you also may have fellowship with us." It doesn't matter that we haven't heard him and touched him and seen his face as they did. You know, he appeared to a handful of his followers and spoke to them so that they could declare it to us, so we would believe and have fellowship. You know, we've been given the word of God and eyes to see, which is the only reason that we believe all of this. I could probably go around this room and ask each of you if you believe that Jesus of Nazareth was more than a prophet and just a moral teacher who started a new religion and was executed. And if I asked you to stand up, if you believe that he rose again, like many other Christians, I think that we would all be standing in this room. But that's only because we've had the word of God explained to us. And we've had our eyes opened, just like Cleopas and his unnamed companion. This story is really an illustration of what's happened to each of us, and so we're just as privileged as they were. But listen to how they responded to all of this in verse 32. It says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So it wasn't when they realized who he was that their hearts burned within them. It was when they began to understand the scriptures. It wasn't even Jesus himself speaking the truth. It was the truth itself. And that's the value of the scriptures. Jesus is the word, and the scriptures are all about him. So if we've seen the scriptures about him, we've seen him. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So at this point, these two people had no doubt that it was Jesus who had talked to them. And they turned around and walked back right then in the darkness back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. Verse 33, it says, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Now, notice they didn't tell them about how he just vanished from their sight, and that would have been pretty astonishing. They tell the disciples that Jesus was alive, and they tell them the things that had happened on the road. Well, what things happened? Well, the only thing that happened on the road was that he explained the scriptures to them. And they tell them that he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. You know, breaking the bread was something the host was supposed to do, which was these two people. You know, they invited Jesus to stay with them, which is why I kind of lean toward the suggestion that this was Cleopas and his wife. But Jesus broke the bread, and he used that to open their eyes to who he was. Jesus taking the bread, blessing it, and breaking it, and giving it to them would have been familiar to them. And I wonder if they saw the scars in his hands while he did it. You know, just like for Mary Magdalene, Jesus convinced these two people that he was alive. But he explained the scriptures to them first, that he had to suffer these things and enter his glory, because the word of God and him opening our eyes to the truth is all anyone needs to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So the resurrection did prove that he was God in human flesh, more than a prophet and a moral teacher who just started another religion and was executed. You know, he didn't just die in a certain year like many other notable religious figures. He rose from the dead, which made him entirely different from all the rest, and sealing the redemption of our souls. The gospel message is that Christ died and was buried, and that he rose again and was seen. And it's been declared to us what others have seen and touched and heard, so that we might have fellowship too. We're going to see next time in his conversation with Thomas that we're blessed because we haven't seen and yet believe. But we only believe when many others don't, because we've had the scriptures explained to us and our eyes opened like these two individuals. You know, they did see him, but that wasn't the point. They realized it was him only after their hearts were burning with an understanding of the truth. The lesson of the resurrection from the story is that we all have what we need in the scriptures, the parts we like and the parts we forget. You know, one day we will see him and his scars, but that will only be because we've been given eyes now to see from the scriptures. So we really have so much to be thankful for, not just that he rose from the dead and is more than just an important religious figure, but that he has caused us to believe. You know, the book of Acts has more references to the resurrection than any other New Testament book, and that's because the ministry of the apostles was all about the resurrection. Many endured severe persecution because of it. But listen to what Paul told King Agrippa in chapter 26. I'll just read it here. He says, "Having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." So he's saying this gospel, which we believe isn't any different than what we've been told all along. It's what the scriptures are all about. And even though these two individuals on the road to Emmaus got to hear Christ himself explain those things to them, we're no less privileged than they were. We have the same scriptures and really even more than they had. That article I read to you at the beginning actually went on to say this. It's also believed that Jesus of Nazareth later ascended to heaven, which is why hundreds of millions of Christians today anxiously await his promised return and the advent of 1,000 years of peace. You know, our souls have been redeemed because of his first coming, and we do anxiously await his second coming. But this is only because he has already been a suffering Savior and is now a living Savior. The cornerstone of our faith, what makes it more than just another religion with just another famous founder, is that Christ had a date of birth and he had a date of death, but he also had a date that he rose again. And we know that because the scriptures tell us, and we believe it only because we've been given eyes to see. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these truths. Thank you that you have opened our eyes and that we do believe this because you have made it known to us. I just thank you so much that you are as real in our lives as you were when people were able to see you and hear your voice. And I just pray that we will live our lives remembering this truth and remembering the scriptures that you have taught us. And we just thank you so much for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.